Sunday after Easter, and it is a fantastic day. I'm still excited and pumped from Easter. This is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 32, and I'll read the entire thing because it has power. It said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Through my moaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me from the songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle. Else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Amen. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. What an exciting day to be a Christian, right? Man, it was a powerful week last week. What a great service it was, and it kind of comes and goes. 2 years ago, we had a lot of people here, yet last year, not a whole lot of people here. Last Sunday, a great amount of people, so that's just fantastic to see people, and we had a lot of guests and visitors with us. Always great to see them with us and to have our church family home on Easter Sunday. We read last week about the Messiah, and he was born. The Messiah was born as a gift from God for us. He was crucified again for us, right? 3 days later, he rose from the dead. That was for us as well, so that we can have life in Christ. Now listen carefully. We can have life in Christ whether we're alive or whether we're dead. And I want to give us an opportunity to help our brothers and sisters. And last Monday, Pastor Eric and I held a memorial service for Jason, who was Gina Gall's nephew. What an amazing time of celebration that was. A lot of stories about him, and really just told about who he was. And I want to give our church an opportunity, if you would like. No one is obligated to. But if you would like to help with funeral expenses as a church body, we want to help them because they're covering that on their own. And that's a tough burden to cover and to carry. And if you'd like to, if you would, just get that with Mark or Jan or where the offering goes. And just put in there, you can put in benevolence for Jason, or you can just put in Jason or Gina's nephew, whatever you want. Just earmark that for that so that we can help them out with that. They had the same opportunity Monday night to do that. And what a great blessing that was to see people show up to honor Jason's memory last week at the age of 36, died unexpectedly. And I thought about him and others as I was writing this and as I was studying. And I thought, Jesus Christ died so that we may live. And that is a hard thing to comprehend, but it said last week, even though we die, if we believed in him, we are alive. And if we are alive and believe in him, when we die, there is no death. We are still alive. And those that understand and get that think, man, when people die, how jealous we are here on earth. Man, when's my time, Lord? I got to suffer down here while they're up enjoying life. Now, let me make very clear, we have a purpose here on earth as well. So let's put in our time here and let's do it well. And let's put our hand to the plow. Let's get after it. We're going to talk about that today. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. And as you're turning there, I thought, do you ever feel like Jesus Christ is calling you to something deeper, something higher, a bigger calling? And I have felt that for the last several weeks in my own life. And I felt that for the church body. I thought, as a church body, He's calling us to a higher calling and a higher service and a higher purpose than just to gather together, to worship, to open the Bible. He wants us to study that Bible. He wants us to study the Word, to get in it together as a body of believers, to learn it so that we can pass this on. And we're going to look at that in just a minute as well. But I thought, man, when He calls us to a higher purpose, now the difference is, do we respond or do we just stay in our same old place? And when He called the disciples, He said, hey, drop your nets, follow Me. And immediately they did it. And we've talked about that in the past. Would we say, well, we will in a little bit, but let's finish casting our nets because we have some business to take care of. When the Lord calls you, it's time to respond. You can't always wait on the church, by the way. You can't always wait on the church to have your higher calling. Sometimes you may say, and we've talked about this as well, He may say, hey, go out and do. He may not have told the church, go out and do, but He may have told you, go out and do this. It's time to go out and do it. If you want to rally some troops and help, get some help with you, He may say, go do that. He may say, hey, maybe I want you to get the church interested in this area as well. And the church can't always wait on you. Well, I want to. Some of you have been saying, well, I want to do this for 20 years now. It's time to get off the I want to stool. But I believe God's calling you and I to a higher purpose. I truly believe that He's calling us to respond differently to His Word and to Him. And He says, man, you can't sit around any longer. You can't play church any longer. When you're younger, you play, hey, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a policeman, I want to be this, I want to be that. Back in the old day when you saw people hanging on the back of the garbage truck, I thought, I want to be one of them. Just hanging on the back. We can't play that anymore. It's time to step into our new role that He calls us to. And we looked at the disciples last week, and they're walking with Jesus after His death, after His burial, and after His resurrection. He's walking with them, but their eyes are closed. And they didn't recognize Him. They said their eyes were not yet open to that. And I said, sometimes I feel like we're walking with Jesus, but man, our eyes are closed and we don't know where we're going. And Adam, look out, you're going to walk off the stage. It's somewhere over there. But there's a point where Jesus opens your eyes, but sometimes we're still walking around with our eyes closed. He's opened them, but we've just turned around and closed them right back up. Well, it felt kind of neater this way. Or we still have the scales on. And we refuse to let those fall off. When Jesus broke bread with them, as we just did, said their eyes were open. So in Luke chapter 24, go to the very end, chapter 4, or verse 44. And in Luke, this is just after they were walking with Him. They broke bread, their eyes were open. And in Luke 24, verse 44, it says, then He said to them, these are the words which I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning Me. And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Verse 46 says, then He said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are the witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And then listen in verse 50. It says, and He then led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So let's break that scripture down and say, what did we miss in there? Sounds like a neat story about Jesus. He came and did this, appeared to the disciples, said a few things, and then, boop, went into heaven. Well, yeah, if you read it real quick and don't pay attention. And that's where God's calling to say, when you read the scriptures, I want you to listen to what it's saying. I want you to find out what purpose it is for you and what he's saying to you in the scripture. Because if we look closely, it said Jesus had to die. It's written in the Old Testament. Jesus had to die and be raised from the dead 3 days later for the scriptures to be fulfilled. Done. Then number two, Jesus gives them direction on preaching. I better look closely at that. He gave the disciples direction on preaching. And on preaching, what he said was, preach repentance. Well, why do we need to do that? Can't we just do that once every couple of years? Yeah, but there's opportunities to sin and need for repentance daily, weekly. He says, preach repentance and turn from your selfish ways. He also said, preach remission of sins. Sounds good. What does that mean, Adam? God has been very gracious. God has been very gracious offering forgiveness to all who believe him. Luckily, we don't have to write an essay about our life and the things we've done wrong, but God already knows that. And I don't need to tell you guys, and you don't need to tell me. God knows it, and he's waiting for you to confess it to him and ask for forgiveness. And then what? And then move on. We've talked about that in the past. Man, you throw stuff away, and then you want to go dig it out. We mentioned it last week. It is well with my soul. And it says, it is nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. Once we give this stuff to Jesus, we don't have to pick it up. He's freed us from that. And that's a higher understanding also. Wait a minute. This 200-pound bag of weights I've been dragging along for 25 years, I don't have to carry that? No. No. You choose to carry that. But Jesus said, man, you can set it down, leave it at my feet. I'll take it from you, and you can move on so long as you don't try and fill a new bag up with those same weights. Okay? I had a Harley one time. My older brother borrowed it and wrecked it. I won't go into that frustration, but he got it fixed. The day after I got it out of the shop, I sold it. Guess what I was doing the next day? I was looking for a replacement for that thing. And I found one. My point being, sometimes we get rid of things and then we turn around and want to get the same old thing again. And Jesus said, I have offered you a new life. That old life, the old bag of weights you've carried around, you don't have to pick that up anymore. God has been very gracious offering forgiveness to all those that believe. And we said last week, it's pretty simple. Believe in me, Jesus said. Believe in me and you will be saved. It's as simple as that. You want to join this church? Join this church. It's pretty simple. Tell us you want to be a member. We have a couple things we talk about that we'd like for you to commit to. We like to present you in front of the church, if possible, and you're okay with that. You want to be baptized? We don't ask questions. You tell us you believe, you've accepted Jesus Christ, we'll baptize you. You don't need to go through my 200-week class. Is that not right, Brian? That's right. He said, I believe, I want to be baptized. The Bible tells me when you believe, be baptized. And we baptized him. I didn't put him through a course. I didn't put him through a bunch of questions. Other than, you've accepted Jesus Christ? Yes. Let's go. It's pretty simple. We complicate it. We complicate it. And then he goes on and he says, these things should be preached in his name. Do these things in his name. And then he told you, or told them where to do it. Where do you do it? To all nations. The forgiveness offered, the blessings given, all those things, they come through Jesus Christ. We do things in his name. We give him the glory. We give him the honor. Oh, look what I did. No, no, no. Look what I did through Jesus Christ. By my obedience through him and to him, look what God has done. That bloodstained cross that he hung on was for every one of you, and every one of you, all of you, myself included. He did that for everyone. We just have to believe in him and on him. And he said the message not only can be preached to all nations, but he said it should be preached in his name to all nations. And then he told them where to begin that. By the way, begin it in Jerusalem. He said, stay in here until they've been endued with power from on high. My wife and I were having a conversation within the last couple weeks just about going places and being in God's favor and wanting God to bless us and where we were. And something popped into my head and I said, interesting question. A lot of times we say, here I am. God, I want to go over here. Lord, would you come bless me where I am? Here's the difference. I'm here. God, where do you want me to go? Oh, you want me to go over here? Okay. Because I don't want to go anywhere that you're not going with me. Amen. In Exodus 33, God tells Moses, take your people and go here. And Moses said, whoa, wait a minute. We're not going anywhere if you're not going with us, God. And we want to be the same way. We don't want to go someplace on our own and tell God, God, bless me where I am. We want to say, God, where do you want me to go? And I don't want to go anywhere that you're not telling me to go and taking me there and going with me when I go there. We've got to stop doing things on our own. We operate on our own in our life, in our finances, in our love for one another, in our jobs. We operate on our own. And I believe God is saying, it's time, prayer of faith, to stop operating on your own. He says, I want to direct you, and I want to show you where to go, and then I'm going to go there with you, because you're going where I want you to go, so of course I'll be there with you. The disciples watched as Jesus was carried up into heaven. Could you imagine spending time with a Savior, and then just watching him go up? But listen to what they did afterwards. In verse 50 it says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. What an amazing time. So how did they respond? verse 52 says, and they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Listen, they worshiped him. They had great joy. They returned to their meeting place in the temple continually, it says. And what were they doing while they were there? They were praising him and blessing them. We need to step up our praise, I believe, to God. And when we sing these songs, don't worry if I don't have a perfect tenor or bass voice or alto or soprano or whatever else there is out there. God says, man, praise me. Bless me. And then God says, man, I'm going to pour back out on you. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus die? Now, for clarification, these aren't biblical questions I'm asking you guys. These are personal questions I'm asking you. Why did Jesus come for you? Why did Jesus die for you? Why did he come for you? Why did he die for you? That's a question for you to answer. Personally, a question for you to ask. Why did Jesus come for me? Why did he die for me? Why did he come for me and why did he die for me? And I believe that answer is different for each one of us, although there is a biblical answer and basis for our responses. Why did he come for Adam Dilley? More importantly, why did he die for Adam Dilley? And I want you guys to think about that. And I want that to be in your mind all week. Why did Jesus Christ come for me? And why did he die for me? A very personal question that I want you to ask yourself and endeavor to answer for yourself. Because when you answer that for yourself, you start getting understanding. Why did he come for me? I need to know, Jesus, why did you come for me? But more importantly, on that cross, Jesus, why did you allow them to do it? You could have got off that cross. Just like the thief said, you're the Messiah, get yourself down from there. And he could have. But what did he say? However, let your will be done. And when we understand why he died for us, forgiveness of our sins, man, that's what this is about to me. He came so, he died so he could remove sin from our life. And then what do? We talked at Christmas time about the gift. He knew exactly, God knew exactly when he gave us his son as a gift, what we would do with that gift. Are we that rotten child that looked at the gift and said, that's all you gave me? And I'm glad my shoe didn't fly off. And kicks that thing around and says, this is it? Thanks. And there's some, not necessarily in this church, I'm speaking generally, there's some that say, that's it, God? I mean, could you give me a better job, maybe? I've got Jesus here, but can't take him to my job interview and have them pay me $1 million. Or the other one, they play with it for a while. Yeah, this is cool. Yeah. Set aside, I'm bored with this. It didn't do what I thought it'd do for as long as I thought it would. Oh, and I ran into some trouble with it. The batteries died, and I just didn't want to replace them with new ones. Oh, I took it swimming with me and the battery's corroded. Remember the parable of the sower? That's fresh in my mind because 4 weeks I waited for King's Kids on Wednesday night to give that lesson to them. And finally, after the fourth week, some kids showed up. And I could finally give them the lesson and we could plant our little seeds and go on our way. And we dropped them outside in the rocky driveway over there and on the pavement. By the wayside, the rocky ground, and we threw it by where we thought there were some stickers. I didn't want them going out and getting stickers on them, but some thorny areas. And that's what the Word of God is also. And that's what this reminds me of. What did we do with that gift of Jesus Christ? We can't continue to serve our Lord and our Master in the way we are and continue in sin without thinking, man, what do I do with this stuff? Man, God, I don't know what you want me to do with it. But I tell you this, the disciples, when they went back and they had great joy and they worshiped Him, they said, I know what we're doing with this. By the way, He told us what to do with it. Go preach. Preach to all the nations. Preach what? Repentance. Forgiveness of sins. And He taught us amazing stories of loving one another. Not just welcoming one another, but accepting one another. Lord, can I continue doing these things and praise You? And I think God's calling us to look at the areas in our life. We've talked about it before, and these are hard sometimes, and I speak to no one specifically, but generally. What about drinking, drugs, gambling, sex, pornography, pride, unforgiveness, unconfessed sin, whining, complaining, grumbling, gossiping? It goes on and on. Adam, I think you had one of those for my neighbor. What was it? Drinking, drugs, gambling, sex, pornography, pride, unforgiveness, unconfessed sin, complaining, whining, grumbling, gossiping. God says, get rid of those things. Get rid of those things in your life. He came to free us from sin and to show us how to love one another. We are to be salt and light to this world. And I heard on the radio this morning, I thought, how interesting that I wrote this down. And then I hear the same comment. We're to be salt and light to this world. And he says, why salt? It makes us what? It makes us thirsty. It makes us thirsty. But if we're not salt, no one's thirsty. No one desires to come and draw near to us. Salt was flavoring. Without that flavoring, things are very dull and boring. And what I'm saying is, if we allow God to be the salt in our life, we attract others to us. And they say, what is it about him or her? I looked at a her when I said him and a him when I said her, but him and her. What is it about them? It makes me want to be near them. It draws me to them. It makes me thirsty for what they have. And what did God say to the woman at the well? If you knew who I was, man, I would give you a drink and you'd never thirst again. Because we have the living water. So we need to be salt and light to those we come in contact with. Some of us have a lot of work to do. I have a lot of work to do at times in my life to be salt and light to those I come in contact with. And I say that honestly in the presence of one of my co-workers. But I try diligently to be the same person at work that I am here and that I am in the home. And God says, man, I just want you to be about my Father's business. I want you to be the same everywhere you are. And when you allow me to penetrate inside you and inside your being, you have these things. So let's endeavor to change, to add salt to ourselves, to be more attractive. And by that I mean spiritually attractive. Biblically attractive. And give others a reason to thirst after God. Amen? So Easter came. It's over. What was that? It was the end of the beginning. That started a whole new beginning. And the disciples are now walking around going, what do we do now? And Jesus told them exactly what to do. And he's telling us to do the same thing. Go ye therefore into all the nations, making disciples of them, baptizing them in my name. Now, we can't all go to foreign lands, but we can go to friends and relatives, co-workers, students, teachers, parents, children, and we can tell them about it. And we can not just beat them up with it. The same pastor I was listening to this morning said, you've got people in the hospital, what are they doing? Laying flat on their back, they've got nowhere to go, and that's where we go dump all our Christianity on them. And they're pushing that buzzer for the nurse going, come help me, I'm stuck here. Someone's dumping all their Christianity on me. And it's the same thing when we want to attract people to Christ. You're going to hell, you need to get to church. I don't know that that helps so much. Maybe an invitation, hey, would you like to come to church? And we can say we are as welcoming and as inviting and loving as the next person, but are we showing that to them? Are we showing that to those people that we talk to? I think it's time to do something about it for each one of us. And it's those questions that say, why did Jesus come for me? And put your name right behind that question. Why did Jesus die for me? And put your name right behind that question and answer that. Material girls out there. I don't know if we have any out there. Don't point them out, please. Material girls, let someone else look and be better than you. Prideful man, give it a rest and give us a rest. Workaholics, go home and spend time with your family. Strong, independent woman, give it to God. He can handle it, I assure you, but I know you'll debate him about it. Whiner, like your mother said, if you can't say anything nice, don't say it at all. Man, I could go on and on all day long. But I'm going to close with this. Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Futility of their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But listen to this in verse 20 of Ephesians 4. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. When you put on the new man, his expectation was that you leave it on. And you don't take it off at work, and you don't take it off at home, and you don't take it off while you're driving down the road. When you put on the new man, that you leave it on. But it tells us we've got to go through these things daily. Renewing of our mind. We have to renew our mind daily for these things. That sounds great, Adam. Thank you so much. How can I live this out in my life? And I want to help, because just saying this is one thing, but giving you guys opportunities or ideas or possible ways to live it out is what I believe God is telling me to help with. I can live this out by doing what? Well, He said repent. Preach repentance, so that means we need repentance. Stopping sin, forgiveness of sins, for the remission of sins. He came to forgive us of our sins, but that doesn't mean that we should sin freely. Oh, because this forgiveness, this grace and mercy is given, do I just sin more? No, He told us that in the Scriptures. No, don't just keep sinning because you know you have that forgiveness. There's also accountability for your actions when we all come before Him. So what can we do to help us? Pray. I don't know how to approach God. Well, just start with a conversation with Him. Pray for those you're angry at, upset at, enemies, loved ones. Pray for areas of your life that you feel hurt by others and pray that God will release you from that. That you cannot hold others captive anymore. What you're really doing is holding yourself captive. Worship. Man, praise God in all things. How's the song go? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God. They went back to the temple in Jerusalem continually and praised Him and blessed Him. Praise God in all things and worship Him. When you come before Him to worship, worship Him. And that doesn't just mean Sunday morning at 10:30 when we sing. There are so many ways to worship God throughout the week, throughout our days. And then fellowship with one another. Iron sharpens iron. Hold each other accountable and hold yourself accountable and allow someone else to hold you accountable. I believe God is calling us to do something different in this church and to be different people. Someone said, oh, I'm thankful that you don't push us to be different people than we are. And I thought, oh, I think I failed then. I just said, okay, I'm allowing you guys to be the same old thing. God doesn't want us to just come and be the same. He accepts us as who we are. But He says, man, I have so much more for you. I have so much more for you. When you submit to me, you'll be amazed at what I'm going to do in your life and with your life. There's two people here today. Two kinds of people here today. Those who need help and those that can offer help. The person that needs help is the same one that can offer help. And the one that can offer help is the same one that needs help. They're the same person. Every one of you needs help in an area of your life, and every one of you is capable of helping one another in the areas of their life that they struggle with as well. And I say that to say God can use you from our youngest to our oldest. God can use each and every one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word. God, we want to focus on following you closer. We want to focus on your purpose in our lives. God, my desire today is that you help this congregation and myself stop doing things on our own, but seeking you out, seeking your will for our lives and our ministry areas. Lord, the question I ask today, why did you come and why did you die? I want each one of us to think that throughout the week and try and answer that. Try and hold yourselves accountable to someone to answer that question by the end of the week, by next Sunday. Whether it's a spouse, a child, a parent, to answer those two questions. Why did Jesus come for me? And why did Jesus die for me? God, I think as we look into those questions and answer those questions, that will start our growth in following you in a new way. If you're here today and need prayer, we do want to offer that opportunity for you to come up and pray. Just come to the sides of the stage and you can pray on your own or we can pray with you. We don't want to miss that opportunity for prayer. Maybe you have a decision today. If you would, just let us know of that decision. God, as we talked about being salt, help us to be salt and light to those we come in contact with. Help us to apply your word. Help us to have a thirst to study your word. As we go out today, again, help us be light and salt to those we come in contact with. I ask these things in your son's name. Amen.